So, I'm back, better than ever. No, we haven't had an upload in like a month, I think it is. So, I'm going to live stream here, trying to get some people in. I don't know if that many people will join, but we're trying to get some in. We're going to be talking about baseball, hockey, football, and we all know Cam Newton and the Patriots. We'll be talking about that and many more. In 2 minutes, maybe one, I don't know. Try to get a couple people on stream, and well, we'll see where it takes us from there. Nice. I'm so up down. The lights are sick. Oh, that's a nice one. How do you put up this thing like that? Yeah. How does it happen like that, though? Okay, so it is time to start this live stream. Nobody obviously in yet. So we are going to start with the best NHL rivalries. So obviously we're going to start off with these teams can, some might not be playing, some won't be. So I'm going to probably go with like maybe the top five. Yeah, I'll go with the top five. So I'll probably cut off half my list right here. So my opinion, honestly. Wait, that definitely makes it heated. Oh, that's even heateder. You know, I don't know. I'm going to have at least, I'll probably have an honorable mention in here too. So you guys ready? Let's do this. So. For my number five is the Philadelphia Flyers versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. Since 1967 and the 1968 season, the two teams have been going at it, battling out Pennsylvania. Well, basically, they've met six times in the playoffs between them each other. And, well, so in the year 1989. This is the history of the playoffs. The Patrick Division Finals, the Flyers won in seven games. So then, 1997, Eastern Conference Quarterfinals, Flyers in five games. Eastern Conference Quarterfinals, Flyers in six games. So, hold on a second. Let me just see this one. I'll be back in a sec. So, stay here. So, Eastern Conference Quarterfinals, 5 and 6 games. 2000, Eastern Conference Quarterfinals, Flyers in 6 games. And Eastern Conference Finals, Penguins in 5 games in 2008. So in 2009, you all know the Penguins won the Stanley Cup, so they, of course, won in 6 games. Eastern Conference Quarterfinals. 2012, Eastern Conference Quarterfinals, Flyers won in 6 games. In 2018, Eastern Conference First Round, Penguins in 6 games. Penguins won that Stanley Cup that year. And this year, October 29th, Hold on, let me see when they matched up. Yeah, so, yep. So, yep, that happened. And I think it was last year that they meet. I don't know if they met last year. Last year's the Penguins. Penguins didn't make it last year. Yeah, they made it. So pull that up in a sec. Last year. But that's the history of them playing in China. Of course, it's Pennsylvania split in half with the Flyers and the Penguins. So that's what happened. So last year's Eastern Conference. Playoff. NHL. So we got NHL on here. Boston Bruins. Carolina. Wait, no. That's not true. It wasn't just them. It was the Capitals. I think the Capitals versus the Penguins? No. Tampa Bay, maybe? No. It's not showing me the full thing. But. Oh no, it's Tampa Bay versus Columbus, Boston versus Toronto, Washington versus Carolina, New York versus Pittsburgh. So Flyers weren't in last year, so that made it all very clear. So that didn't happen last year either. So we still got nobody on, but we have. So we're going to rank the 10 greatest rivalries, starting from all the way to Philadelphia to Pittsburgh. Going all the way up to the top to our number one, which I will tell you at the end, but probably my opinion, the most key to rivalry. So, here we have the at number four, Colorado Avalanche. At number four, we have my opinion. Calgary Flames with Edmonton Oilers. Now, these two teams are very heated. Battle of Alberta. This is one of the very defining rivalries in the NHL. From 1983 through 1990, either the Oilers or Flames played in the Stanley Cup Finals. Well, basically, the two teams met five times in the playoffs, and the Oilers dominated by winning four of the matchups. However, the Flames' victory over the Oilers in the 1986 division final that is most memorable. The tight series came down to the seventh game, and the score was, like, tied. I think it was 2-2 in the third period. When defenseman, Steven Smith began a rush for the Oilers. He attempted to pass the puck from behind his own net and banked it off Oilers goalie Grant Fuhr for a Calgary series winning goal. I remember that. Probably one of the most iconic goals ever. This is a funny play that he goes right around the net, bounces off Grant Fuhr, and it goes in. And that's how the rivalry basically gave Calgary a say that we beat you. I know the Oilers have beat them more, but they can say we beat you. So next, we got... We have the Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs. I know everybody's going to be like, what do you have? They could at least be first. But in my opinion, it's not as better as the rivalry that I'm having in second place. So overall, the Montreal Canadiens and Toronto Maple Leafs have met like 15 times in the postseason, with the Canadiens winning about 8 of them. Only the two of the meetings come since the 1968 expansion. The Canadiens swept the Leafs in 1978 and 1979. They have not met since. Maple Leafs have won four of the six meetings in the Stanley Cup final, including the 1967 matchup by a 4-2 margin. As Leafs fans know by birthright, that was the team's last Stanley Cup title. So, pretty long drought for the Leafs, if you're going to ask me. Gonna ask you guys a pretty long drop. So, but now at my number two spot, we have the Calgary. Nope. We got the Montreal. Nope. We got the Boston. Nope. We got the Colorado Avalanche versus Detroit Red Wings. Now, these two teams probably had the biggest rivalry in the 90s and early 2000s. This probably the high quality rivalry that hit big time in the 1996 playoffs. Colorado Avalanche had just moved to Denver and immediately became a serious contender. They would beat the Detroit Red Wings in their first playoff meeting in six games. The Avs would go on to win their first Stanley Cup, beating the Florida Panthers in the finals. While the Avs and the Red Wings would meet again the following year, and the Red Wings would get the victory at this time. The Red Wings would go on to win a Stanley Cup over the Philadelphia Flyers. That end result has become a pattern in the Detroit-Colorado series, mostly because the winner of the series has gone to capture the Stanley Cup five times. So if whoever won the Detroit and Colorado series, people would be like, okay, they're going to win the Stanley Cup. So then the Red Wings have won four of the seven series between the two teams and have won the Stanley Cup three times after beating the Avs. But I don't know if you guys remember this. I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up to just make sure again that the Patrick Waugh got in a fight with the Detroit goaltender. I think it was Mike. No, wait. Patrick Waugh, I think Mike Vernon, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was Mike Vernon. I think it was Mike Vernon. They had that big fight. And probably one of the most iconic goalie scenes and moments for me. So that's pretty cool that goalies come at each other. It's not cool that they get hurt, but it's definitely good content. So I'll be back with my number one ranking in like a minute. Enjoy some of this music. Wait, yep. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. I got some good music from you. Starting now. Okay, so now we're going to have a special guest soon on the show after I reveal my number one pick. My number one pick for the biggest rivalry in NHL history are the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins. Most Canadiens have, like, seen the Boston Bruins in the postseason probably more than any other NHL team, which is a very... creates a rivalry, and they're both original six. And, well, they met, like, it's defined by the 1979 playoff meeting. The Canadiens had, like, won the three previous Stanley Cup championships, and they had a magnificent team that had, like, I think Guy Lafleur, Jacques Lemaire, and Larry Robinson, and Ken Dryden with Scotty Bowman behind the bench. The Bruins really did not have the same level of talent, but like, but the Bruins featured Wayne Cashman, Gene Ritel, Rick Middleton, Stan Johnson, and Brad Park. But the two teams have just met so many times that you don't even have to have any bad blood to just like meet so many times in the playoffs and get into it. But so that's it for the greatest rivalries. Now I will try to get on the guest host. Just give me a second here. Some invite. And play some music for you guys just for a couple seconds. You can just try to get this on. Add that. Oh yeah, we gotta do that. And then do this. Now play it. And then we're going to get this done. And, like, you might hear some noise in the background. Don't mind that. But I'll try to get this on. It's not working. The music is not working. I'm inviting the host. And just all that. So let's see if I can get it on. Be right back. Okay, so we're going to invite our first host on the show now. And hold on, let me just see something. And we're going to. And then I'll be right back in a sec. You got to go to the bathroom. Okay, so just gonna do these. Okay, we're gonna bring a guest on the show, and for now he's gonna come on in a sec, and we just gotta wait. I think he'll respond in a sec, and we're gonna talk some baseball predictions. What we think about the new season and all that stuff. So, you guys ready for this? I am. So, let's see. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. I gotta do that for a sec. Thank you. Okay, let's do this. I don't know if he'll be on in a sec, but we're gonna do all this stuff and get into it. So, you guys are ready? I'm ready. We're gonna talk some baseball, drop our predictions. We're gonna talk about how we're seeing about baseball's doing about next season, all that. So, I'm ready when you guys are. My dad, he's gonna be on in a sec, so. Hope he's gonna be on in a sec. Contacted him a second ago, so. I think he'll be on in a sec. I do not. Okay, so if he's not gonna come in like a minute, then we just start talking both about baseball by ourselves. And the guest host will not be coming in then. But you will see. We will see. So, you know, give it like 2 minutes. Like 23 minutes, not on. He is not on. Yeah, so I'll be back in a minute. If he's not on, then he is not on. Hello? Is there anybody there? Hello? I cannot hear him. It says he's on. It says he's on. He needs headphones. So he needs headphones. So we are going to see. So at least he's on. So let's introduce our other host. The person who doesn't have headphones. Yay. So, we cannot hear a single word. Oh, he's live. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Is this the I Talk Sports?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? I'm here to talk sports.
I think that's what we're all here to talk about. So, yes, yeah, good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
It's an honor.
So let's do it.
Yep. So we're going
to
talk
about some... What is, so I heard that you, I have to prove you wrong. What am I proving you wrong?
We're mostly going to talk about, well, I was thinking, I don't know about you, but I think that baseball, how they're making the season with like a 80, 60 game season, I think that's, was right. What about you?
So you want me to prove you wrong that you believe that baseball should start the season basically with 80-plus games, like 85 games, right?
Yes.
Like a shortened season.
Yes.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you more.
Why?
Well, because to me, baseball is a three-season sport, right? It starts in the spring, plays through the summer, and then we have fall, October baseball. And to abbreviate the season just starting in the blazing sun and then ending in the fall just doesn't feel right to me. You're going to have asterisks on every single number. They're not going to be true numbers. It just doesn't seem right. You're going to have players, for instance, you'll have a player that really hits, let's say, 25 home runs. And that's the equivalent of what, 50 plus home runs for the season. And those baseball players, those ball players are going to demand a high salary the following season. It's going to be an inflated price. So you're going to take, like, let's say your average run ball player gets on a streak, and that player gets 22 home runs. He's going to then in the spring or in the winter argue that, you know, if you projected his home runs for X amount of months to our full seasons, he would have had 60 home runs. We all know that ball players have hot streaks. So let's say you have a hot streak of 2 months, 2.5 months. That doesn't necessarily mean that for a full season, you know how seasons in baseball run, they have hot and cold streaks. You're not going to have a ball player that gets into a cold streak because he never had the chance to. Then you have the injury component. Most ball players, you know, they get nicked up during the season. An 80-plus season, shortened season, doesn't really give a chance for a ball player like that to get nicked up. So then he has a monster, you know, a monster season. You're talking about 22 home runs, .305 batting average, let's say 60 RBIs, you know, and then no injuries. That ball player is going to command or demand a huge salary increase if he's a free agent at an inflated price, right? He's going to drive the markets up. Someone that might have never gotten that kind of, because if you say that season, let's say a .305, 22 home runs, 60 RBI season for a full season, it's nice. It's not superstar level. But if you have an abbreviated season, someone hits that, he's going to argue that I had a superstar all-star year, right? That's my first line of argument. You can have inflated off-season pricing.
What I think you're wrong there is I think that baseball players, I'm on the side of baseball players. They want to think about baseball players that are getting drafted this year. They're spending a whole year not getting drafted. And that imagine if people that are young players that are in the minors now that don't have as much money as baseball players make. And what do you think how they're going to feel? Like, they're not going to get paid, and baseball players are not going to get paid. It's basically getting fired from your job or taking a leave of absence from your job and not getting paid.
Listen, we all know there's a lot of sadness here in sports, right? No one's arguing that. And especially for the minor league players, because they're eons away from what Major League Baseball players make. Let's be real. Major League Baseball players, they don't need a job, right? They're millionaires already, you know, and the ones that are contracted, forget it, okay? They're making hand over fist. That's the reason why they have all the cards. That's the reason why they can demand all this money from the owners, because they're sitting pretty anyway. They're not hurting. So let's get over the fact that Major League Baseball players need jobs, right? They do not need jobs, okay? They can sit the season out. Again, I go back to my first line of argument. I have a three-pronged argument here. My first line of argument is you're inflating prices for free agents on the offseason. And the other way is still a part of the first argument, and you should be taking notes here. The other argument is, how about a ball player that's a superstar last year? Let's use, I know you're a fan of the New York Mets. Let's use Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso comes in, everyone's expecting great numbers, and he's off to a horrible start, okay? And Pete Alonso gets, let's say, 10 home runs at most by the end of the season. And he's batting .260, and he only drove in 30 RBIs. Now, let's just say Pete Alonso was in his walk year and he was a free agent next spring or next winter, let's say, okay? He goes into the offseason as a free agent. With those numbers for Pete Alonso, is that indicative of an all-star? No. So here's a guy that just has to get thrown into an abbreviated system, couldn't get out of his slump, and now the market's going to say, hey, this ball player is not what he used to be. And is that really a fair statement to make for someone that just played for a few months, a month, 2 months? You know, this is not a long season. Players should have the right to get in and out of slumps.
Well, okay? Also.
So, and then you have, let's say he gets injured. Okay? Let's say any player gets injured.
Yeah, that's what I
was. Okay? Now the player also has an injury to deal with. So, again, it's to me, it's not fair. I don't want to see asterisks next to names. You know, I want a full season of baseball, and that's the way baseball is meant to be played. You know, there's always the argument it's too long, it's too short. Listen, it is what it is. It's baseball. That's how we know it. It's a three-season sport. You start in the spring, play throughout the summer, and you end in the fall.
What I was going to say is that right before you said that, I was gonna ask, like, what do you think will happen with injuries? So now that's where I'm kind of thinking to agree with you. And because I think you proved me wrong by saying, talking about the injuries. Because if I think about injuries, I think, oh, so they're only going to be injured for 2 months. That's about half, like a quarter of the baseball season. So now it could be the full baseball season. So now I'm thinking, okay, these players, they won't make their money, first of all, but some of them are, like, multimillionaire. Like, amount of money that probably the top baseball player makes, I don't know, $50 million probably. But it's very questionable if you get injured for a certain amount of time, if you'll ever even play. But it also gives another reason. The coronavirus has given a lot of teams that players would have been injured for the regular season to heal up. So a lot of teams have players that were going to be injured, not injured. A lot of teams will have a player it could be their star player that just got injured doing something, and now he's going to be back for the season because of this. Like, if you think of Kevin Durant, if basketball ever, when he starts again, Kevin Durant got injured. He probably maybe could have gotten back, but he didn't. He chose not to come back. But if you actually think about it, he probably could have came back to basketball. And
yes, it does give guys the time to heal. You know, you have fresh players coming in.
Because you might not get that. You might not get that if you postpone it. You might imagine another person can get hurt. You never know
what the situation is. Well, that's my argument. It's like, just for the guy, let's say, you know, you have a Cespedes, right? He comes back, he's fresh, you know, this is the timeline. He's supposed to come back anyway around July. Now he gets to come back on his own timeline. But then you have another player that wasn't injured who now gets injured on a shortened season. So now you have a player that played only a shortened season. Let's say a player plays for a month and he gets injured. Now he's jeopardizing his following year, a true baseball season. So it goes both ways. So the injury argument cuts both ways. I go back to the free agency. You're inflating prices for the following season. They're not going to be true to the player's abilities because you can't really see a player play out the whole season. And how about rookies? You're not going to even know what a rookie is this year. Because you say, oh, look at this rookie, he's amazing. But then the next full whole season, he's not so amazing. Or just conversely, you have a rookie that, how about the sadness of this? The rookie that goes in there, and this is probably more true to a rookie season, he can't hit a lick because he's never seen Major League Baseball before. And then 2.5 months later, he's shipped down next year to minor leagues because everyone thinks that rookie is terrible because he only played 2.5 months. And that rookie could be saying, well, this is not how I really play. I was just learning. You know, so it's not really a good, fair assessment for rookies either. But I want to bring it also back to what you mentioned about the coronavirus, right? Now, people are saying that, you know, going back to baseball, people need baseball. People need sports. People want to see something. But do we really want to watch a baseball game with no fans? Do we really want to watch that type of game?
Actually, it's
pretty depressing to watch a game where no one's really rooting for you. You know, I know soccer hasn't begun in Europe, and they have those fake fans in the crowd. It just doesn't feel right to me. What are your thoughts on that?
I 100% agree with you on that. I can't bear to watch a baseball game with looking in the stands with nobody there. You hit a home run, you hear, you could hear a cricket chirp. It's like, and of course, hockey and basketball resuming. I don't really follow basketball, but I follow hockey. And if I watch hockey, this season was probably very exciting for me. There's a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of teams pushed through the playoffs at the end. So having the 22 team playoff I saw, and without fans in the stand, I'm fine with it. I kind of just want to see, because it's the end of the season. And if it's the end of the season, I just want to see, oh, who's going to win and stuff like that. But baseball, it's the beginning of the season. So do you want to watch opening day with nobody in the stands? I agree with you on that.
You sound like I'm proving you wrong here.
You are.
Well, I'm glad I'm proving you wrong on your first prove you wrong show. So I am batting 1,000 right now. And I hope you have me back to continue my hot streak. But before I go, I have to say with the hockey, I was on board with hockey because it is the end of the season. But, you know, I'm convincing myself more and more it will be pretty depressing watching a hockey game without fans. Because hockey is that one sport where, you know, if it gets quiet, and you hear the ice, and you hear the puck hit the stick, it can get a little you can lose some interest in that, you know, in my opinion, you know.
Well, I was watching the soccer, like you said, the English soccer and Spanish soccer, and I don't know about Italian yet, but they restarted. I think Italian restarted, but the fans in the crowd, you could hear the soccer players yelling to each other like they usually do, like pass, like all that. And you could obviously hear that. And at least you're in something in hockey, you could hear people too, but like you don't want to hear the slap on the stick like you usually hear. And in basketball, I don't really follow basketball, but it's without fans, it's not going to be that fun to watch. But in baseball, you could hear the crack of the bat, and I love hearing the crack of the bat. But it's just gonna be weird, you know. And like you were saying before, I would love sports to get back, but we don't need sports. I'm just gonna tell you that we don't need sports. People say, "Oh, we need sports." We don't need sports. It's not a need. It's a want. It's not a need. I would want sports to come back, but it's not a need.
Well, to all the people listening out there, I would suggest, you know, that you go on YouTube or something of that nature and you relive some of your favorite sporting events. You know, even if you're a young guy, you know, you can go back to a games that just happened and just enjoy that, at least I do, that you know the outcome. So if your favorite team has won a big game in the past, you know, you can go back on YouTube, watch the whole game, feel comforted in the fact that you know something great's going to happen, and just relive those memories. That's how I've been getting through. Do I want to keep doing this? No, I don't want to keep doing this, you know. But for this year, I could overlook sports in the sense that I don't want everyone to be safe, of course, and I want the game to be to remain pure and to remain what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be with fans, people coming together, people watching the game. It's supposed to be in baseball, three seasons. Spring opening day is supposed to be when the sun finally comes back out. And, you know, the flowers are reappearing and we have that smell of grass in the air. You know, it's not supposed to start in the blazing hot sun. That to me is not traditionally what baseball is about. I know we have to make exceptions, but, you know, I might lean one way a little bit if we had fans, but you know, fans are the clincher. If you're not gonna have fans, why risk the injury? Why have these inflated numbers for players that might have real long cold streaks during seasons? And why have disappointing numbers for superstars? You know, I would just hate to see superstars have 2 months of just like no hitting, and you know, and then it's like they're going to the off season and you're kind of down on those guys. So to me, it just seems not right. I would not want to see someone raise, you know, win the World Series, but just by playing 2.5 months. I mean, it just doesn't feel like it's right.
Yeah.
Maybe if it was like that from the beginning of time. Yeah, but, you know, just to know that all the other teams that won the World Series, they had to go through 160 plus games to get that trophy, you know?
And with the NHL and NBA, they played a whole season to earn to get into this playoff. Baseball, you're going to get 2 months of regular season and just see people play 80 games just to get into the regular season. The 80 games is almost the amount that you play in the NBA and the NHL. But baseball, you have sometimes 3 games in a row, 2 games in a row, and like double headers. Like, it's not an NHL, you have sometimes every other day and maybe every other day. So same with the NBA. So it's not like in the NHL and the NBA that you go back to back every day as Major League Baseball does. So it's going to be weird. It's definitely half of the amount of games that they have last year. It's going to be weird. And before you go,
I'm hoping they just get rid of, you know, now the cases are spiking again. I'm hoping they just pull the plug in the season and just call it a season and just skip this year. And then hopefully things are a little bit more normalized next year and we can get back to business.
Yeah, I feel the NHL and the NBA, because it's not fair to the players that work their butt off the whole season to not get a playoff.
I would have to say with the NBA, we pretty much knew what the playoff structure was going to be, so I can give you maybe that. But with the NHL, you're getting teams in there that might not have been in there if the season went on for another month or two.
Yeah, but if you imagine those two teams, there's a couple teams that could have made that playoff push. There's a couple teams that had games left. There's a couple teams that had.
You're using words like could have. Doesn't mean it would have.
True, but
bam.
But there are teams that could have made it.
Yeah, anything could have happened, but it didn't. And so you cut off the season at a certain time. If you're going to start a playoff, let's start from the. I mean, listen, I'm a Ranger fan. Let's start it. Rangers wouldn't have been in it.
And if we started it from there. But if the Rangers wouldn't have been in it, and the Islanders wouldn't have been in it either. They both were a point out. The Rangers a game out, the Islanders a half a game out.
But that's life, and that's what you should not be in it. I mean, you could easily think that the Rangers would have went on a cold streak and then been 5-6 games out by the time the playoffs were over. You don't know which way things have turned. You know, you're projecting. Again, this is what I go back to, projection. I don't want to live in a world of projection. I want to live in a world where you are true to the sport. So if you're going to start a season at end the season at a certain time, then you have to honor those teams that you ended the seasons with. And I don't want projections.
Thank you.
I know I'm so excited that I proved you wrong. I do want you to say to me right now, let me say to the world that I proved you wrong, because I know that you're brilliant. So can you just say the words, thank you for being on the show. I now hand it to you, Daddy Baca, to say, and I will say it.
Thank you for being on the show, and now Daddy I will Baca, hand Daddy it to
Baca.
You,
my name is Daddy Baca. Baca. But that, yes, say it again, please. I can hear that.
I want to thank you for being on the show, and I have to hand it to you that you.
No, well, so this is Daddy Baca, and I proved the man wrong.